all for coming out on this chilly Tuesday night in March. What a surprise. It's great to see everyone here. This is going to be a wonderful evening. I'm Rebecca McEnroy with KUT, and I have a few people to thank for making Views and Brews happen. One of them is that smartass right behind this soundboard there, Casey Cheek. Thank you very much, Casey. Woo! Also, our wonderful bartenders, please be sure to tip your bartenders generously. We have Travis Grimmie and James Morgan. Thank you, guys. And also from the Cactus Cafe and KUT, bringing you wonderful music here at the Cactus and events like Views and Brews, Matt Munoz, Amy Chambliss, and Hawk Mendenhall. Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you. Also, a couple of announcements. Views and Brews is on Facebook, so please like us in that domain if you are there. And we are also taking donations as we do every Views and Brews. Hello. She can stay. It's fine. In true public radio fashion, because we couldn't do what we do and keep this free and open to the public if it wasn't for your generous support. So thank you very much. If you're able to contribute, we really appreciate it. And let's see. Any other announcements, guys? I think that's pretty much it. Ready to go? Okay. Okay, with no further ado, Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, "Where we love is home, home that our feet may leave, but not our hearts." However, in this fast-paced, cosmopolitan 2014, sometimes it is easy to forget roots, to cut ties, to reinvent oneself. It's not easy to become anew and stay connected. But there can be beauty in home that transcends. Here with us to talk about the power of regionalism and place is the renowned and award-winning designer, and by that I mean the heavy in the field of design, DJ Stout. Welcome. And also, we are very blessed to have with us this evening a very gifted and elegant composer and pianist, not only here in Austin, but world-renowned as well. Graham Reynolds, take it away.
In 2011, a ferocious wildfire raced through a remote area of far west Texas called the Big Bend. The fire went down in the record books as the third worst wildfire in Texas history, and when it was all over, it had burned up over 350,000 acres of land. This is where I'm from. This is the state of Texas. I don't know if you recognize that. I live in Alpine, in Austin, but I was from an area called the Big Bend. And the reason it's called the Big Bend in far west Texas is because the Rio Grande River, which is the border between Texas and Mexico, takes a big turn right there. So, of course, in Texas, we were very clever and we called it the Big Bend. I was born in a little town called Alpine. The Rock House Fire in 2011 was called the Rock House Fire because it started as an electrical fire in an old abandoned ranch house. The fire caused an amazing amount of damage. It burned down hundreds of ranches, some of them very historical. It burned up miles of fencing and just caused all kinds of financial havoc to this area. It also killed herds of cattle. This is ranching country, and it killed hundreds of horses. This area of the country is cowboy country, and cowboys depend on the land for their survival. They depend on each other. They depend on their families, and they depend on horses. They love their horses. But cowboys are a rugged breed, and even though this is devastating, in Texas we like to say that when a cowboy falls off his horse, he gets right back on. These are not cowboys. These are my 19 Pentagram partners. Pentagram is a very well-known international design firm. It started 40 years ago. And my 18 other partners, this is a recent picture taken in New York. They're from all over the world. It's a very global company. To this day, I've been a partner for 14 years. They still think that I ride a horse to work every day. I don't know why they think that. But even though I'm very influenced by my Texas roots in everything I do, in all my work, they too are very influenced by where they're from. And I think that's an important part of anything you do, especially in music, in the arts, in graphic design, in anything. These are called Pentagram Papers. Pentagram's been doing these little books for 40 years, and they always have the same distinctive little black and white covers, and usually they're about visual subject matter. And you know what these are, right? That's right, these are poets. So J.B. Sauceda, who's here tonight, wonderful photographer, little big hand here, yeah. One time he showed me his portfolio, and it was full of advertising, and I said, basically without saying anything, I said, this sucks. And he said, do you have any advice? And I said, you should go do what you love. Well, JB is wearing the cowboy hat over here. He loves cowboys and cowboy culture. So he went out to Alpine, where I'm from, and he did these wonderful portraits at the Cowboy Poetry Gathering. And then he came back and he showed them to me and I said, these do not suck, these are awesome. And I think, once again, the lesson there is that you do something that you love, but you also do something, you embrace where you're from. So we turned this into a Pentagram paper, and of course, when I presented this to my partners, they were like, oh, of course, he's doing a book on cowboys. This little book was sent all over the world because we have offices all over Europe, UK. It was a huge hit. And so we ran the poems. And these poems are about what cowboys love. It's about the land. It's about horses. It's about the fellow cowboys. And of course, you know, you could say these are corny. They're cliche. But they're not. They're actually very, to me, very personal, very down to earth. I love these poems. And it seemed the rest of the world did too.
I have run on middle fingernail through Eolithic morning. I have thundered down the coach road with the revolution's warning. I have carried countless errant knights who never found the grail. I have strained before the caissons. I have moved the nation's mail. I've made knights of lowly tribesmen and kings from ranks of peons. I have given pride and arrogance to riding men for eons. I have grazed among the lodges and the teepees and the yurts. I have felt the sting of driving whips, lashes, spurs, and quirts. I am roguish, I am flighty, I am inbred, I am lowly. I'm a nightmare, I am wild, I am the horse. I am gallant and exalted, I am stately, I am noble. I'm impressive, I am grand, I am the horse. I have suffered gross indignities from users and from winners, and I felt the hand of kindness from the losers and the sinners. I have given for the cruel hand and given for the kind, heaved a sigh at Appomattox when surrender had been signed. I can be as tough as hardened steel, as fragile as a flower. I know not my endurance and I know not my own power. I have died with heart exploded neath the cheering in the stands, calmly stood beneath the hanging noose of vigilante bands. I have traveled under conqueror and underneath the beaten, yet I've never chosen sides. I am the horse.
So thank you, Graham. Graham and I did this presentation on a huge stage in South Africa last Thursday at a big international design conference. And at this point, they thought we were kidding. Not only that, Graham had a big grand piano and he stood up and played the strings during the horse parts and stuff. So we're improvising here. Yes, there's no strings, but it sounded great. But what I was going to say is that cowboy poetry book, usually Pentagram does those papers, and we just send them to our clients. What we did there was we had a fundraiser party, and we raised a bunch of money, and we sent the money to the fire relief fund out in the Big Bend. Once again, trying to do something to kind of help the community where I'm from. I actually am a fifth-generation Texan, and I am the son of cowboys. This is a picture of my grandfather. His name was Pat. He was named after a mule, and he worked on ranches all over West Texas. And so my son, who's named after him, is also named after a mule. My grandfather, Pat, would tell big stories. He was a tall Texas tale maker, and some of them were true. And he gave me this book, The Book of Cowboys, and this book has been a big influence on me. I've designed hundreds of books, and at Pentagram now, we've designed so many books that we can't even count. But I was very influenced by this book. It had elements like this, like beautiful illustrations on saddles that were kind of around them in the margins. I guess we'd call those infographics today. And then 50 years later, I've designed a lot of books, but I wrote a book. And this was a book also called The Cowboys, but this was about a baseball team, the Alpine Cowboys. The man in the cowboy hat was a very wealthy rancher in the 40s and 50s. His name was Herbert Coconut Jr., and he was a huge influence on my family. He owned one of the largest ranches in the world called the 06 Ranch, and he loved baseball more than he loved ranching. So he built this beautiful baseball field on a piece of his land, very near the place where I was born. I always say that if you hit a long home run over the center field, the ball would hit the hospital where I was born. He went out of his way. He went all over the country. He looked at all the best baseball fields in the world, and he sort of modeled this baseball field after Wrigley Field in Chicago. He spared no expense. It truly was the field of dreams. But not only that, he was a very gracious man, and he took care of his players who came from all over the country. Not only would he would employ them on his ranch in the off season, he would also pay their way through college. The recipient of that kindness was my father, who was from Dallas. His team, when he was in high school, won the state championship in Texas. He broke the high school strikeout record of 21 strikeouts in a game. My dad had no way to get to college. He was from a low-income family, and Mr. Coconut paid his way. He ended up getting his master's. So we did this book together, and this is an essay I wrote about him in the book. And it was a great experience because my father, who after his baseball career joined the Marines, had no idea what a book designer or what a graphic designer does. So after we did this book together, he had kind of a new understanding. We had a big opening book launch in Alpine. We had 15 former players from the 40s and 50s come from all over the country. We had probably 300, 400 people there. And the mayor of Alpine, who is also a cowboy poet, welcomed everybody. This is not a cowboy poet. This is me wearing Mr. Coconut's hat and tie at the opening event. And what was great about that whole thing, doing the book and everything, was it brought me back to my roots. This is a picture of my mom and my dad on their very first date in Big Bend National Park. And then, like I said, my dad became a career Marine. We moved all over the world, but those Texas roots never left me. I moved every single year of my life, and this is me and my brother. Of course, my partners think that I still dress like this every day, which I do, actually. So eventually, I had the opportunity to move to Austin to work at Texas Monthly, and I was the art director of Texas Monthly for 13 years. And Nancy McMillan was my associate art director, who's sitting right there. Nancy and I did an amazing amount of work, and it was all about Texas, because it is Texas Monthly. But what I loved about working at that magazine was we did work that was about where we're from. It was about our roots. But we always did things that embraced what we called at Texas Monthly the Texas myth, all those things that are very Texan. But we always tried to give it a twist and then sort of break that stereotype. So this was a cover we did about Ann Richards. Ann Richards was a stereotype-breaking governor. She was one of the first, second woman governor. You know, instead of having a picture of a cigar-smoking governor on the cover with a cowboy hat, we put Ann Richards on a Harley Davidson. And this is me during my big hair days, believe it or not. I know you can't see with my cowboy hat on tonight, but. Oh. And this is Joaquin Jackson. He's a friend of mine and a very famous Texas Ranger from Alpine. What I think is interesting about this cover, this was a much beloved cover, was this cover was actually about a negative story about the Texas Rangers. It was actually about how Joaquin Jackson had quit the Texas Rangers because Ann Richards was forcing women into the force. But the power of this cowboy image taken by Dan Winters kind of overpowered what the story was about. It shows the power of imagery, I think. After my 13 years at Texas Monthly, I was asked to join Pentagram, the international design group. This is a meeting we're having in Berlin. What was wonderful about that was it allowed me to become part of an international group, but to stay in Austin, Texas, the place that I am from now and the place that I love.
So you're not exactly blue. You don't feel like you do in the winter or them long, hot summer days when your feelings and the weather seem to sort of go together. And you're quiet in those dreamy autumn days. When that last big steer is goaded down a chute and fully loaded, the summer crew has ceased to hit the ball. When a feller gets to dragging to that home ranch with a wagon, when we finish shipping cattle in the fall. There's only two men left to stand and to do that job of winter branding. And your partner, he's eloping by your side, with a brand new saddle squeaking, and neither one of you are speaking, and you're pretty sure it's gonna be a quiet ride. Well, you savvy one another. You know him like a brother. He's friendly, he's quiet, that's all. And he's thinking as he's dragging to that home ranch with a wagon, when we finish shipping cattle in the fall. And the saddle horse is stringing at an easy walk, they're swinging behind the old chuck wagon, moving slow. They're weary, gaunt, and jaded for all the mud and brush they waded. You know, they got down to business long ago. Well, ain't a horse of acting sporty, not a horse of being snorty, but in the spring, they were full of bucking ball. Now they're gentle as they're dragging to that home ranch with a wagon when we finish shipping cattle in the fall.
I just wanted to point out quickly that that last poem was by Tom Nall, who's sitting right there. Stand up, Tom. Yeah. So this is J. Frank Dobie, as you know. There are buildings on this campus named after him. But I think he's a hero of mine. He was a folklorist, author, loved Texas. He wrote all about Texas. But he was a regionalist, and he always loved this quote. And he really believed that nothing great could happen if you didn't embrace where you're from. The other thing about J. Frank Dobie was the fact that even though he wrote all these stories that basically bragged about how great Texas was, about Longhorns, about everything else, he hated the fact that the rest of the country perceived of Texas as a bunch of braggarts. I actually like that joke, what we call the Texas brag. I think it's part of our inclusive sort of Texas humor. It's a joke that we have amongst ourselves. So this was a cover that Nancy and I did together at Texas Monthly for our 20th anniversary, where we called it Planet Texas, where we just, it's a version of the Texas brag that we call the Texas brag map. Then later on, I was asked by a big international paper company to do a map of the Southwest, and they sent me an outline that I was supposed to follow. Of course, what I did was I immediately made Texas about 3 times bigger than it was supposed to be, and then put all the other insignificant states in, crammed around it, and misspelled their names. And then later on, I was asked to go speak in Vermont. And just to point out how tiny Vermont was, I worked with Stu Taylor, who's also here today, to design this map. And basically, we just wanted to rub it in how tiny Vermont was when you stuck it inside the shape of Texas. You can't see it there probably on this small screen. That's part of the Texas sense of humor. After I left Texas Monthly, I was asked to do some work, and so this is the other thing that we love, is that everything's bigger in Texas. So these were kind of a branding campaign that we did where we made the magazine really big. You all know Big Tex. So I was asked, Michael Beirut and I, my partner, to rebrand the city of Lexington, Kentucky on the occasion of the first time the equestrian games were hosted in the U.S. So they wanted a logo, and we thought they needed more than a logo, so we created Big Lex. And we've done work for the Texas Book Festival over the years. Stu Taylor worked with me on this design of this poster. But Mark Burkhart, who's a wonderful Austin illustrator who has taken a little sojourn to Germany right now, but this was 2011, so this was during the Rock House fire. So we were sort of inspired to do this image, which really made people very uncomfortable. But I think it's what art should do. And at Texas Monthly, Nancy and Kathy Marcus and I all got to work with some amazing artists. We were enthralled with these photographs by Mary Ellen Mark, one of the top photojournalists in the world, of the Indian Circus. And so we thought, what is it about where we are from that's like the Indian Circus? And so we thought the small town rodeo. And so we hired her to actually go photograph 14 different small town rodeos over a period of about a month. And so Nancy and I actually blew our entire budget, our yearly budget, in 1 month. Don't do that. And this is a recent jacket I did. I do a lot of book jackets. This was, Stu Taylor helped me with this one as well, for Gail Collins, who's a New York Times writer, all like sort of bashing Texas, basically, about our politics. And so, of course, this is the easiest cover we ever did. I just found a picture of the Washington Monument and put a cowboy hat on it. And this was another very much beloved feature we did, all on big hair. Of course, I love big hair because I'm from Texas. Danny Turner photographed this. This woman actually sent me, this is not a model, she sent me a photograph of herself with a letter that said, with a picture like that, "Dear Mr. Stout, I like to wear my hair in the shape of a cowboy hat. Will you put me on the cover of Texas Monthly?" So we did. We had to track her down. She'd been divorced 3 or 4 times. If you wear your hair like that, you get divorced. And then this is a recent cover we did for Loyola Marymount University. We do this magazine in Southern California. And this is an animator who does this popular cartoon called Johnny Bravo. So those Texas things keep infusing themselves, even work that I do outside of Texas.
Sometimes folks from foreign states misunderstand our pride. I guess if you weren't raised here, it's hard to see our side. It's about independence. It's about honor. It's about the land. It's about making your own way in life and being your own man. Our forebears stood tall in Gonzales and answered when tyrants came with a shot from their little cannon, filled with horseshoes, nails, and chain. Morning fog broke over the Guadalupe, and the Mexicans demanded the gun. They got Sarah DeWitt's come and take it flag, waving proudly in the sun. And those men who died at the Alamo, outnumbered 20-1, they left a legacy for us to live up to. It's passed down from father to son. Was it legend and myth that Travis drew that line in the Texas sand? Well, those legends and myths remind us that there comes a time when you take a stand. The settlers who came to Texas, they knew when they left their home they'd chosen a life of hardship, but they wanted a place of their own. Texas was heaven for men and dogs and hell on horses and women, it said. Now our women are independent and strong, and better horses haven't been bred. I can't tell you where we're headed. Things are changing way too fast. The young folks are becoming homogenized. They're losing touch with their heritage and past. You can only hope that there lies somewhere deep in their soul an ember still aglow that bursts into flame when they hear God Bless Texas or Remember the Alamo. Oh, we might tell a windier for you, and some folks would say that we brag, but you know, you can raise it anywhere on earth and they recognize our flag. So when they scorn or condescend, speak up, set them straight. Be proud that you're from Texas, the sovereign Lone Star State.
That looks real. Thanks, Graham. That footage that he was just playing to, those are two of the cowboy poets out herding cattle on the 06 Ranch, which is owned by Herbert Coconut. And JB went out to photograph them, to video them doing their poems, and they were like, JB, we're busy, we have to herd cattle. So JB was a little annoyed at first because he had an appointment, but they were like, we have to get these cattle at the other end of the 06 Ranch. And they made JB drive the truck. But that's how we got that footage that you didn't see. So,
which we might see soon.
What I wanted to do, I just did this presentation in South Africa with Graham, and I just don't know anybody who's quite as talented as Graham Reynolds, who's originally from Connecticut. That's what we call a damn Yankee. But he got here as fast as he could, and he's been here for 20 years, and Graham has done scores for amazing movies like the Academy Award nominated movie Before Midnight. He did the score for that. He did the score for Bernie. If you've ever seen that, that was a Texas Monthly story. He's done ballets. He's done for the Austin Ballet. He's done everything. So I called him up out of the blue and said, I have to go do a design lecture. It's an international design lecture. How would you like to do music for a design lecture about cowboy poetry? And he said, sure, let's do it. So I just, to me, what this lecture was about was embracing those things that are the Texas myth, the heritage, but then also challenging that stereotype. And to me, Graham is that person. And so I can't thank you enough, Graham, for doing this project with me. Yeah. Sure.
And I would love, actually, for Graham to talk a little bit about, you know, about the collaboration process and what you were expecting from this and how it all came together.
So I collaborate with all sorts of people, and some traditional choreographers or directors, theater directors, film directors, other musicians, obviously. But usually when it's graphic design, it's, hey, I've got this CD, can you make the cover? Or something like that. And so this was coming to graphic design from a performative perspective, which was totally different from anything I had done in that way. The first part of any process, whether it's film or music, with a new collaborator is figuring out what the process is going to be between these two people, because he works differently from Richard Linklater, who works differently from Alison Orr, who works differently from the Rude Mechs. Usually you just talk and figure out what the next steps are going to be. And so he came over to my house and had some of these videos, had some of these photos. And the first thing we did was I'd worked a little bit that morning, just coming up with a few ideas. A great composer and friend of mine, Peter Stopczynski, had taught me a while ago that instead of the seven, that you use for blues and rock and jazz a lot of the time, for country, and you use the six. And so
it's that easy.
It's that easy. So I rewrote everything just around this little six chord.
You know, DJ, you mentioned that the cowboy image in Texas in particular is part of the American imagination. It's also part of a global imagination. My grandma is British, and I can always remember her saying, we watch cowboys every Sunday. We watch a good cowboy. And how is it that you negotiate in your field this relationship between the myth and the reality of Texas?
Well, I mean, part of the reason, like I said, that I wanted to do this at this conference just last Thursday was it was a huge audience. And I thought this would be very exotic to this crowd who's from all over the world. Down in South Africa, about as far as you can get from Austin, Texas. And I swear to God, like afterwards, so many people came up to us and they were just so impressed. And what everybody said was, We thought you were going to make fun of the cowboy image. Like when they, after they saw the first Cowboy Poet video and whatever, we thought you were going to be sarcastic, but you actually really love this stuff. And they really love that stuff. That's the thing. The cowboy image is truly an American thing. And when Michael Beirut, one of my partners who was the MC of this event, he actually told the organizer, you should get DJ to come speak because he's the most American designer you'll ever meet. And I didn't know what to make of that exactly at first, but then I thought, that's a great compliment. And what he means is I'm very, very much a Texan. But I think what we've been able to do with our work at Texas Monthly and at Pentagram is to take that myth and to play with it. The same way Graham is from Austin, Texas, and he has been able to really make a name for himself as an innovator and you know, from Austin, Texas, and I'm very proud of that.
And I'd like to open it up for questions because we only have, you know, a few minutes left this evening. I'm sure you'd all like to ask a little something. So 1 second, I'll be around.
I'm not going to ask a question. I'm going to give the floor to the most Texan guy that I know, Tom Nall.
I just want to say something, DJ. I had the great opportunity of representing Texas at the Smithsonian two or three summers ago. And I was there telling cowboy stories and doing chuck wagon cooking. And NASA was also represented. It was their 50-year anniversary, as was the country Bhutan. This cowboy had never heard of Bhutan.
But that's in East Texas.
Yeah. But Bhutan is, I think, used to be Burma, and it's near India. And so one afternoon, I have a break, and we did two, three shows a day for 6 days, and everybody was standing room only, just people that wanted to come hear about Texas. But there was a young man that walked up to me from Bhutan, and he was, I'm going to guess, 10 or 11 years old. And I said, do you know Texas? And he got down in the dirt, and he drew the outline of the state of Texas. I wanted to say, do you know Oklahoma? But I didn't. But we are worldwide, DJ. We are worldwide.
And there are so many juxtapositions, I feel, you know, like with cowboys and with poetry, with graphic design, with cowboys, with, you know, all of these different worlds kind of coming together. What are some of the conversations that you had in South Africa when talking about representing Texas and America on a global stage?
Well, I'll tell you, one conversation we had was, this is a big international design conference, and we're staying at this fantastic hotel. Cape Town, South Africa, actually, if you ever get a chance to go there, it's a very sophisticated, really beautiful city. I was very, very impressed. So after we did our talk it was Thursday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, I come down to the bar, and Graham is in there meeting with four or five people. And so I go to join the group. He goes, DJ, we're having a meeting. Go away. So what happened was, some of these big advertising people in South Africa had done a this really big time ad. They'd already shot it and they didn't like the music, and they saw Graham play, and so now they're talking to him about composing music for this ad campaign in South Africa. So the fact that a guy from Austin, Texas now is going to be doing this big ad campaign in South Africa, I think that's what that whole thing is about. But also, I think it just shows kind of the character of people who are from Texas, that he was so willing to just like, sure, let's go do it. It's an adventure. He was bold enough to like, let's go do this crazy thing. You have, you know, this crazy idea. And then it actually did what it's supposed to do. It's like now he's working with BBDNO in South Africa. And it happens to be a big ad campaign for brandy. And Graham really loves brandy. So, there's something about the Texas characters, especially Austin, that you can do anything. why not? Let's try it. Let's go for it. And I think that's a real part of our character, and I'm really proud of that. So.
And also, you know, Graham, it's different for you representing Texas and representing Austin because you're from Connecticut, a transplant here, and it's something different in your imagination than it is in DJ's. What was it like for you to represent Texas and America at this place?
Yeah, it's hard to. I've been here for 20 years, but you know, I say I'm from Austin. It's very hard to say I'm a Texan because I wasn't born here.
Yeah.
But it's also hard to say I'm from Connecticut because I've been here actually just almost as long. My parents actually just moved down to Texas as well. So everybody, we were all in Connecticut, and everybody followed down. But it took me, I don't know, over 10 years before I got my first Western shirt. And then so I just gradually sort of became accustomed to the culture and the differences here and embraced them more and more and felt more and more comfortable in that. And I do things like say y'all, which you don't say in Connecticut. And that'll happen, and I'll be in Philadelphia or in South Africa, and I'll say, he dropped a y'all on us.
I think a y'all in Connecticut is like a boat, isn't it? Like a
So it's sort of unconsciously bringing Texas culture there. I'm wearing Western shirts. I'm saying y'all. I'm doing things, and it's everybody at this conference is from both all over Africa and then all over the world. So there's this huge amounts of cultural exchange just happening, incidentally and very overtly at the same time.
Any more questions? Oh, James has one way back there. Give me a moment. Got the heels on tonight.
So I've been working at the Cactus Cafe a little over 2 years now, and I always find it weird because we have a lot of people from abroad coming in, and they always seem shocked because, like, I don't necessarily fit the mythos of a Texan. I mean, like, you know, they expect, you know, this cowboy culture identity. Instead, they get, you know, a punk kid from Houston, and, like, they seem shocked. It's like, hey, you don't know anything about country music. You don't know anything, like, about this identity. What do you do when you get – you're supposed to represent something when you don't truly represent it?
So the question is, you know, when you're not really representing the myth, how do you represent the place where that you're from?
Okay. Well, yeah, pride. And also, this is a good way to end this. is that what I didn't say was when Graham was growing up in Connecticut, he was very influenced by punk culture, which is different from me. I was just a punk, but I was not influenced by punk culture. So the song that, after I do this whole thing at the very end, that Graham does, I'd like for him to do now, which is a Texan who is still holding on to his punk roots from Connecticut, if you don't mind playing.
Thank you so much, DJ. Thank you so much, Graham, for sharing your presentation and your story. And thank you so much, everyone, for coming out tonight.